Today I begin a series of messages entitled Signs of the Times. And I'm going to ask you a lot of questions today, hopefully to get you thinking and engaged. Now, you'll have a choice about questions, just like you have with anything, whether or not you really take it seriously and really think that God has something to say to you because you're here today. Now you can say, well, it's just another worship service, but don't we pray and ask God to speak to us? To speak specifically to us? So, that being said, a few questions. What do you think about what's going on in the world today and in our nation? And just name the topic. I mean, it's stuff all over the board. All over the board. What do you think? You engaged in it at all? Do you read the news? Do you watch the news? Do you listen to the news? Do you have a wide span of what you listen to? Are you very focused on what you listen to or let come into your life? Now, another question. Do you have a laissez-faire attitude about world situation? Whatever happens. Is that the way you think about things? Third question. Are you ever on information overload? You ever feel like some days I can't turn the news on one more time? I can't read one more series, string of articles that come on my homepage. Though they would be interesting, though they would be challenging, I can't do it. Yeah. Anybody ever feel that way? I do on a regular basis. Have you begun to mistrust some of the things you see and hear? And when does that enter into your life? Just questions. Final question. Are there people in your life that you really care about and love? And what do those people have to do with all the questions I just asked you? Is there any connection between the two? May the 20th, Megan's birthday, a devastating thing happened. John, if you'll put that picture up there. You remember seeing this aerial view? That's Moore, Oklahoma. Audrey, I don't know if you remember, we could have been living there years ago. We got a call from a church there. This wall of tornado that was just unreal in its size went through that area. Miles and miles and miles of devastation. It stayed on the ground. 24 people died. Somewhere around between 12 and, I've seen different estimates, between 12 and 20,000 homes. Get it now. 12 and 20,000 homes destroyed. Damaged. By this. Do you think those people were on information overload right before it happened? saw an interview one couple was talking about. Y'all have seen these. You've seen several of these, but they were talking. They said, we saw all we could see was brake lights on the road as far as we could go. He said, we remembered that a friend of ours had a storm shelter, a basement. And we turned around, went to their house, and beat on the door, and they let us in, and we rode the storm out. We got there just in time. And they showed the view of someone there with an iPhone that was taking the video, and you could see through. You could see the devastation. You could see the things that were flying through the air that should not have been flying through the air. This was not a breeze that was what was taking a little napkin, a little Kleenex through the air. This is something that is throwing 18-wheelers through the air. I want to ask you today, was it important for them to get the information ahead of time about what was going on? Was it important for somebody to be listening to what's really happening and report the news? And we can sit on the other side of the country and say, oh, that didn't happen here. But today, we can see all the pictures. Go Google it. Not now. Some of you probably already are doing that right now. Just want to remind you, those of you that log on to the wireless here, we know all of those people. As soon as you jump on, it records you. No, it does. I just wanted to see what you'd say if I said that. All right. Google it. Go look at the pictures. And then say, was preparation important? They said the schools there, two schools that were totally destroyed, they had run out of money in the state before they could build a proper structure for them to take all the children to, a storm structure. And most of the people there did not have one. Because here, on this side of the country, we think, everybody out there, it happens all the time. Sure, those people have something they can go into. We've seen the movies, we saw Wizard of Oz, and they all got in the... No. So is preparation important? We're talking about news. We're talking about facts. We're not talking about speculation. It wasn't a speculation. It wasn't someone said, there may be a storm coming. The storm was coming. The tornado was moving through there. It had touched down. People had seen it with their eyes. It was being reported. Did you see the storm chaser guy that was screaming and hollering and asking for help? I mean, he was totally. You saw him in there, and here's a guy that does it for a living. Now, sell that as an analogy. As we begin to look at our world, as we begin to look at where things are, I want you to think with me today. Okay? Now, in the next several weeks, we're going to take a look at several things. I'm going to lead you as we look in the scripture at some of the signs in the heavens, how God has used how he has used physical things in the world as signs of his work and as reminders, as prophetic words for us to let us know what's coming. We're going to look at some of it. And just to whet your appetite, it seemed like in the first coming, He used what in the heavens? A star. We've seen his star in the east, and we've come to worship him. Something God does. We're also going to look at the culture. We're going to look at Israel, and we're going to see how things seem to surround Israel, the events that are going on in the world. And look, so some of you think, and what does this have to do with me? Let me say to you, brother and sister, when the tornado is two blocks from your house, it has a lot to do. It has a lot to do. And we're commanded to pray. Now, I want to read a passage of Scripture to you. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Matthew chapter 24. And we're going to read all down through about verse 14, beginning in verse 1. Are you there yet? Verse 1. Now Jesus came out from the temple and he was going away when his disciples, which temple are we talking about? We're talking about in Jerusalem, the temple. You know, where the Wailing Wall stands today. That temple. When his disciples came up to point out the temple buildings to him, he said to them, "Do you not see all these things? Truly I say to you, not one stone here will be left upon another which will not be torn down." Question, was that a prophecy from Jesus? Has it been fulfilled? 70 AD, what happened? History majors, what happened? 70 AD. Anybody know? The Romans came in, destroyed the temple. Not one stone left upon the other. It has been destroyed. Now, we have the promise that that temple is going to be rebuilt. And you ever wonder this story for another day, but why there's so much angst about that little piece of property in the earth? How many wars have been fought over that little piece of property? Right there. It must be important in some way. It must be mighty important. Unless you just say, that's just a bunch of religious people. Don't be so careless in your estimation of things. At least don't show your ignorance of facts. Do some research. Ask some questions. Now, I guarantee you'll get some answers, but you're probably going to come away with a lot more questions than you had answers. Okay. Not one stone upon the other. Verse 3. And he was sitting on the Mount of Olives. What's significant about the Mount of Olives? Huh? He's coming back. That's right. Okay. I mean, this is just chocked full here. And his disciples said to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things happen?" What he just referred to about not one stone upon the other. "And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" That's an honest question. How many of you have asked that question yourself? Well, three of us are honest. You've asked that question. You're wondering where things are headed, aren't you? Aren't you? Don't you look at the world and wonder? Don't you look at circumstances? Don't you look at the suffering that's going on in the world, the wars that are happening, the devastation that's happening, and wonder? I think so. If we're honest. what I'm asking of you today. I'm not asking you to agree with me. I'm asking you to be honest. You're going to come away with questions. Honest questions. Because I'm not one that stands before you with all the answers. I know the one that does have all the answers. Jesus answered, verse 4. He said to them, "See to it that no one misleads you." Well, are there people trying to mislead us? Is it happening around you? Is it regularly happening? Is it just happening in the religious world? No, of course not. But, I hate to even tell you, go out on the internet because you'll see every sort of nut in the world out there. And right now, some of you may think I'm a nut. That's okay. That's okay. Somebody's already beat you to that. Long ago, you know, like Barney Fife, he's a nut. You can Google it, and you can see all sorts of things. But look at all the political people that are out there that are involved in what we would call religious questions. That's what the whole thing in the Middle East is. Oh, Ahmadinejad over there in Iran, he was the darling. Now he's kind of out of sorts and with the mullahs, and they're about to get rid of him. In fact, you're probably going to wake up one morning and you're going to say, You'll read some article. Ahmadinejad was on his way to play golf. I don't think they play golf in Iran, whatever they do in Iran. And he's just going to disappear. But what was Ahmadinejad's message to the world? The person he sees, that we see as the Antichrist, he sees them as Messiah. Everything's flipped. It's 180 degrees out of sync in the way he sees the world. Now, some of you are going to have to go home and do some homework. You're actually going to have to read something about Islam. You have to read something about what's going on in the world and engage in the struggle. And know that the kind of Islam that is in Iran is not the same kind that is in some other place. But here's Ahmadinejad. He wants to see the end come. He wants to see the world come to its conclusion. Why? So his guy will be in charge. There'll be a worldwide caliphate. Just one little area there. So many will come mislead and will mislead many. Verse 6. You'll be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. Any of that going on right now? See to it that you're not frightened, for those things must take place. But that is not the end. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and in various places there will be famines and earthquake. I want to ask you, are these things already happening in our world? Are they happening? Yes or no? Yes. Now, are they happening to the frequency that they're probably going to cut? Not yet. But it's coming. And then they will deliver you tribulation. You who? Believers. To tribulation. And they will kill you. And you'll be hated by the nations because of my name. Do the nations hate people today because of the name of Jesus? Yeah, that's right. That's actually happening. At that time, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. So we know there's coming a great apostasy, a great falling away of those who claim to belong to Jesus. Many false prophets will arise and mislead many. Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. Now I want to ask you, particularly some of you that have a little more miles on you than some of the others. Have you seen lawlessness increase in your lifetime? Have you? Listen, young people. Listen, babes in arms, to those who aren't just talking about stuff. They've lived it. They've lived through it. They're not reading something out of a book. They're telling you their life. And they're saying there's an increase in lawlessness. Is driving on Abercorn a different experience today than it was 20 years ago? Huh? Can I get a witness on that? How many experiences have you seen recently of road rage? Seen it? Cool. Of course you have. I watched somebody the other day was blowing their horn, shaking their fist, and they got with somebody and pulled them over. On what happened after that? Verse 13. But the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. That's always the promise. And the promise, and I believe in the sovereignty of God enough that if you've trusted Jesus in your life, he's in your life, and he will never leave you or forsake you. And because you've trusted him, you are going to endure. Verse 14, and the gospel of the kingdom will preach to the whole world as a testimony to the nations, and then the end will come. I just read you that to kind of get you ready and for you to start looking at the signs. What has that got to do with you? When's Jesus coming? I don't know. But I do know he's coming back. He's coming back soon. And we must live in that kind of urgency. We must live as if it could be at any moment. What does that mean? Does that mean that you go sell all you have, get you a white sheet, get to the highest place? I don't know, what's the highest place in Savannah? 25 feet above sea level? 50 feet at Savannah? There you go. There it is. So Savannah Airport, if you're going to do that, if that's going to be your plan, if that's going to be your plan, that's where you and your sheep need to go. And I say that because in history there have been those that have done that. They got into date setting and all that stuff. What I'm into today is watching God's sign. Is he trying to get our attention with all that's going on in the world? Question. And that's a question you've got to answer. Is God trying to get your attention? My attention? Our attention? Is he trying to get the attention of the United States of America? Right now. Are there people you love? And what do they need to be hearing in their lives? Every Sunday, we open this book. We gather. We have 52 Sundays in a year that we gather. We open this book. We proclaim a message. We teach. At 9:30 today, Rick did a phenomenal job. He's doing this on your passion and your purpose, your personality, leading up to looking at spiritual gifts. It was phenomenal. We'll encourage you today. It's time to engage in the preparation for the next place God has you for right now. Now, all the preparation you can think of what the world would say, this is how you get prepared. Look at all we were told before 2007, 2008 as how to prepare financially. How'd that work out for you? Huh? But I'm here to tell you that the preparation that is spoken of in this book is without error. And it is preparation for every generation, but especially in this generation. We may be the generation that is alive when Jesus comes back. Are we prepared? Are you prepared? Are you ready? I'm not making a case today for you to go in and submit your resignation at your job. No. What I'm making a case for is that when you go to your job tomorrow morning, that you engage that job as unto the Lord and give unto it everything you have in the Lord. Knowing that He's coming. That He's coming to this earth. Preparation. Being prepared. Seeing the sign. Seeing what God is trying to tell us. And learning to hear His voice. Now, I say that about us gathering here. Some of us here, you hear one of the pastors talk for 30, 35 minutes on a Sunday. But you know a lot more about Brett Baird's voice on Fox or name the other news commentator because you've multiplied listening to them much more during the week. And what are you reading? The stuff on your homepage or this book? Not a guilt trip. I'm just asking you today to take inventory and measure your life today as to what you say is important and what really is important. Is gathering important? You better believe it's important. It's part of our preparation. Where the Lord says gather, what does the evil one say? Scatter. I want to say to you today, take a look. Ask the questions in your own life. What's important to me? Who is important? What is God putting in my hands for today? What are the signs that He's showing me and around me? And see, it's not just about you. Remember that question about those you love? Those that are looking to you. What are they seeing from you as to what's important in life? the people in your life, some of which worship the ground you walk on. What are they seeing out of your life? They're watching you. They're watching you. When I was a little boy, there was a time in my life when I walked with a limp. You know why? I worshiped the ground my daddy walked on. I wanted to be just like him. Dad used to eat very fast. Well, he still does. He eats fast. And he would mix his food together and would eat it fast. He'd cut it up real fast. I mean, it'd be just like that, and the meal's over for him. And I asked my mom one day, I'll never forget it, we live over on 59th Street. I said, Mom, cut my food up like Dad. And she started cutting it up in her Beverly way. And I said, no, hit the plate like he does. Because Dad would do it so fast, that knife would be hitting the plate, and she mixed it all up together, and then I didn't want to eat it. I wanted to be just like him, so much so that even the preparation, I wanted to be just like him. People are watching you. Then you can be smug. You can continue on in your life and say, no, Dustin, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and I'm going to, and I. And then, who's going to be standing at the end? Only the Lord. What's he saying to you today? A lot of questions. My final question for you is, have you received Jesus in your life? Is he your Lord and your Savior? Do you know that you know that you know that you're going to spend forever with him? Jesus loves you so much. And listen, when I describe to you all the stuff that's happening in the world, does that mean that we immediately get this long face and we retreat? No, sir. What God is calling on us to do is to have the joy of the Lord that's out there on the cutting edge and living life large with him. That's what that means. But you know, you can't appreciate the true joy, the good news, until you know what the bad news is. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for what you're speaking to us today. Lord, I want to thank you for your people. Lord, for those who engaging in your message in their lives. Lord, I'm asking you today that you'll wake us up. Wake us up to what's really going on. Lord, that we can be the body that you have called us to be. Lord, you've called us to this city. You've called us into people's lives. So many people today, Lord, we pray for them who need you. Lord, for the people who are here today who have never received you, I pray today will be the day of salvation for them. Come, Lord. Come. Come right now. We love you. Lord, for the many needs that are represented here today. Lord, needs of families, financial needs, needs of jobs. Lord, needs we can't even voice publicly. Lord, we put them out before you and we say, Lord, you're Lord over all. And Lord, I know you're trying to get our attention, so we turn to you, Lord, with our full attention. And say, Lord, do in us what you want to do. Come now, Lord. Come right now. Thank you. The altar's open if you want to come. Ask our pastors, our life group leaders to take their places. This is your time of prayer and response. Your ministry time. Some are still praying, but while they're praying, if you'll look this way, I'm so glad you put this time aside to be here today. If you're wondering where Mr. Strickland is today, that is Mr. Gary Strickland and the whole singing Strickland family. They're Mickey World, so look in the news to see them. He's finally getting his trip to Disney World. So, and the girls, and they're just going to have a ball. I wish I could be there with a video camera to just see the whole thing. But thank you, Mr. Drayback. Thank you, Stephen. God bless y'all for leading us. Cameron, we're so glad you're here today. You'll notice Cameron's letting his hair grow out. Birthday tomorrow. Oh, boy. So be sure and give him some nuggies before he gets away. If you haven't hugged the Desharms, you need to do that. And thank the Lord for those who serve in our military, who serve us around the globe 24/7, 365. They're on the job protecting our freedom. God bless them, every single one. Yeah, go ahead and give them a hand. Hope you'll think about the questions I've posed to you today. See you later. Bye.